This is KVNF Regional News for Friday, April 4th. I'm Patricia Naft. A bill to provide property tax relief for flood and wildfire victims cleared the House Appropriations Committee on Wednesday. Benta Berkland has more from the state capitol.
Helping flood and wildfire victims is a top priority for lawmakers in both parties, but it still took a long time to debate the bill. Democratic sponsor Representative Jonathan Singer of Longmont says the idea was born out of a town hall meeting.
Someone raised their hand and said, am I going to owe taxes on my house that was in Lyons is now somewhere in Kansas? And so we were trying to find a way to provide some tax relief for homes that don't exist anymore.
The bill would create a tax credit for homeowners whose houses were destroyed by any natural cause, such as a wildfire, flood, or tornado. A taxpayer could only claim the credit for the year in which the house was destroyed. While the measure got widespread support, Republican Sherry Giroux of Evergreen voted against it, saying that she doesn't like that the bill would require the money to be paid out of the state's general budget.
It's saying that no matter what happens, if there is a natural disaster, the first, primary, and foremost action of the legislature is that no matter how much it costs, that we will give those dollars to the counties. I'm not sure we can afford to make this promise.
Republican Representative Bob Gardner of Colorado Springs was a yes vote. He says he has concerns about the funding and where it's coming from, but his district includes victims of the Waldo Canyon fire.
We need to do whatever we can for people who have lost so much, my neighbors, my friends, so I can't bring myself to be a no.
The price tag for next year's budget is about $2 million. In the end, all but three committee members voted to support the measure. Lawmakers still have to deal with dozens of other bills that require more money than is available in next year's budget. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
Grand Junction is weakening its controversial panhandling ordinance. The American Civil Liberties Union sued the city last month over its ordinance, which restricted how, where, and when people could ask for money. The ACLU said the city's law restricted freedom of speech. Instead of going through an expensive court battle, the city council decided last night to make some changes to the ordinance. That's according to the Grand Junction Daily Sentinel. City councilors voted unanimously to remove language in the ordinance that would prohibit people from asking elderly and young people for money. They also reduced a no panhandling buffer zone around ATMs and bus stops from 100 feet to 20 feet. And they deleted a section of the law that prevented people from asking for money alongside state and federal highways. However, people still cannot step into the road to accept money. There's no word yet on when the new ordinance will go into effect. The blue corduroy jacket worn by high school students in FFA, formerly the Future Farmers of America, is an icon of rural life. It's a nearly 100-year-old symbol of pride that signifies a background and desired future in agriculture. As KUNC and Harvest Public Media's Luke Runyon reports, even with fewer and fewer kids growing up on farms, a record number of kids are donning blue jackets this year.
18-year-old Reese Melton says when he grows up, he wants to raise cows.
So this is our school farm. And
Andy's getting plenty of hands-on education at the St. Vrain Valley School District's working farm in Longmont, Colorado. The city of 90,000 has deep agrarian roots tucked in between its sprawling suburban developments.
Going down Sunset Road in the middle of Longmont, you wouldn't think there's a livestock facility back behind here.
Melton is president of the district's FFA chapter. While he now spends part of his school day doing farm chores, he grew up in a nearby town, not on a farm. And that's the norm for the 60 other students in his chapter.
We're in an urban area, so most of our members do not grow up on property, though they still have that connection to agriculture.
The millennial generation is one step removed from the farm. That's why the school district is going to great lengths to make agriculture appeal to more students.
So this jacket is just from the 80s.
Lauren Hart is the district's FFA advisor and an agriculture instructor. In her 8 years of teaching, she's noticed a shift. A greater number of students are interested in
farm fresh foods, organic foods, natural cage-free, grass-fed, and all those trending topics in food right now.
In place of traditional conventional farming methods. And Hart says she can't just ignore what students want to learn about.
The interest and the ability both of students going into production agriculture is declining. It's just not something that a high school student either wants to or believes they're able to get into.
When she's planning a curriculum, Hart says she tries to reach further into areas you wouldn't typically associate with farming. Some classes touch on law, policy, entrepreneurship, and bookkeeping, all with an agricultural touch. And that's something that doesn't always sit well with some students' parents who hail from farm country.
Why aren't you doing XYZ? And when are you going to have my student on a tractor? Well, never, unfortunately.
The perception is that FFA is plows, cows, and sows.
National FFA Organization CEO Dwight Armstrong says programs like Hearts are taking off, and the changing focus appears to be working. Nearly 580,000 students are enrolled in FFA this year, a record for the organization. And inner-city chapters in places like Chicago, Philadelphia, and New York are some of the fastest-growing in the country.
Because now we talk about not vocational agriculture, but the science of agriculture and the science of food.
And in those topics, Armstrong says teachers can begin to point students on more stable career paths, something that couldn't be said during the 1980s farm crisis. That's when enrollment numbers slumped, chapters closed, the name went from Future Farmers to FFA, and the group's new mantra became adapt or die.
There are success stories.
Mike Martin teaches ag education at Colorado State University.
And then there are maybe not so successful stories. And I don't want to call it failure, but it's sort of this struggle to adapt.
And they're pretty much close to ready.
Back at the school farm in Longmont, Reese Melton and his classmate Samuel Johnson are planning the next coop for a flock of fast-growing chickens. Both have the iconic FFA blue corduroy jackets hanging in their closets at home, which, at first, Melton says he griped about wearing.
It's definitely not the most stylish outfit, but it's something that's more relative to tradition.
It's kind of neat that the jacket didn't change throughout the years. It's always been blue corduroy, same emblem and everything.
A static symbol of tradition in an otherwise dynamic and always changing organization. Luke Runyon, Harvest Public Media.
Stay tuned for the Friday Morning Music Mix with Alan. For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.